Yo, it's the most dope show. It's about that time to get live. Take a break from your 8 to 5. Them other guys don't have the ability to rip it. We kick it. Three guys on representing with the most killer spirit. And we coming with the jokes. So you better grab a good pen and pad for your notes. And forget them other folks, cause we got the best quotes. Randolph does more than just jokers. He woke and he got the files. Tell Andy Klein to turn up the dial. I don't know where that boy Tim is now. Raising a daughter, he hella proud. Andy is straight up and Randolph ain't here for racist. When Tim Miller hit, that got funny as shit. The sock puppets always be there to assist. Too many to name, but they all of this shit. I guess I could try. Love me some Frankie French. Milner and
Mike B.
Be lit. I cannot forget about Petey and Chris. J.L. Covan with them Trump impressions. Riding Cameron coming from the black guy who tips. That's a whole damn nation, so they always near. Pop, pop, bang, bang. Getting green, romaine. Three guys on sock puppet nation. Gang, gang. Yeah. What up,
Dominic?
Puerto Rico, suave. I know you thought I forgot about you, but I ain't gonna get about you, bro. Yeah. Yeah. Puerto Rico, ooh. Puerto Rico, suave.
I'm reading this thing about, Rod posted it. So about Across the Spider-Verse. People were like, why did Across the Spider-Verse look so good? Like, the reasons why it looks so good and the animation was so good in it is because the working conditions required to produce such artistry are not sustainable.
Does it look like noticeably better than other animated things?
That's what they're saying. Multiple Across the Spider-Verse crew members, ranging from artists to production executives who have worked anywhere from 5 to 12 years in the animation business, described the process of making the $150 million Sony project as uniquely arduous, involving a relentless kind of revisionism that compelled approximately 100 artists to flee the movie before its completion. 4 of those crew members agreed to speak pseudonymously. Why don't you just say anonymously? Pseudonymously.
Under pseudonyms?
Yeah, I guess about the sprint to finish in movie 3 years into the sequel's development production, a period where whoever wrote this is a terrible writer. Whose speed they attribute to Lord's management style in particular. It's these two guys, Phil Lord and Chris Miller, who made these movies together. Clyde with a Chance of Meatballs, the Lego movie franchise, 21 and 22 Jump Street. They were fired from doing Solo, the Star Wars standalone movie, which, by the way, I thought was a good movie. I don't know what people thought about that, but I thought it was a good movie.
The Solo movie? I saw that. It was fine. I mean, I'm not the best judge of those things, but there's always reasons that nerds hate those things that don't even register with me.
A period whose they attribute to Lord's management style, in particular, his seeming inability to conceptualize 3D animation during the early planning stages and his preference to edit fully rendered work instead. While frequent major overhauls are standard operating procedure in animation, a Pixar film can take between 4 and 7 years to plot, animate, and render. These changes typically occur early on during development and storyboarding stages, but Spider-Man crew members say they were asked to make alterations to already done approved animated sequences that created a backlog of work across multiple late stage departments. Cross's Spider-Verse was meant to debut in theaters in April of 2022, but it was pushed back to October of 2022, then June of 2023, as was reported to as pandemic related delays. However, crew members saying it wasn't a pandemic. Because Lord kept fucking around with shit. He kept fucking around with it. And later they were pushed to work more than 11 hours a day, 7 days a week for more than a year to make up for time lost, forced back to the drawing board as many as 5 times to revise work during the final rendering stages. So it's not just writers getting fucked over.
I mean, that's what it takes to make a good looking animated movie, you know?
You know what it takes, man?
How bad do you want it?
I got to work 11 hours a day, 7 days a week.
How bad do you want it?
For the least amount of money you can legally pay me?
Do you want to be in this business or not? You know?
It's such a good business that I can't even use my real name if I want to tell the truth about what's going on.
I mean, you can.
You can. Ain't nobody stopping you.
You don't have to go with a pseudonym. I mean, be about it. You know what I mean?
Did anybody see the article about, this may not even interest y'all at all, but did any of you see the article about what was going on at Lost during the production of Lost?
I started reading it, but I never watched the show. Black,
brown, and Asian characters.
I never watched the show. I didn't know who the characters were. Did you ever watch it? I never watched Lost.
Yeah, I never watched it either.
But even for like, I'm a sci-fi person, I couldn't even stay with it. I was like, this is dumb. It's everywhere and it doesn't make any sense.
That's the mystery, though. You got to solve the mystery. You know, like it all makes sense at the end. Isn't that the way it's supposed to go?
Sometimes, but you got to give me more than that. They just mistreated black people. By the way, that's where that idea of mine came from about the white people being in groups. The white people being in groups, because was as LaToya is saying, who someone's the behind the scenes made all the sense. The black characters were written about, and then all of a sudden, strange things started happening with the characters. And by strange, I mean the storyline stopped making any sense with the black and brown and Asian characters. They didn't make any sense to people who were watching. You're like, well, this doesn't make any sense. You know, they would just remove characters, put characters in. Well, the reason why is because the white writers were just like, fuck it. We don't need to do anything. Fuck it. And then when the writers, the white producers, and the people who were in charge, then when the writers would be like, look, this is what we're trying to do, they'd be like, ah, fuck that. We're not doing that. And then the guy, Harold Perrineau, talked about it and they tried to get him blackballed. You're just an angry black man. Like, am I angry? Or am I just like, what the fuck are you doing with this character? This is not what you said we were going to do with the character. You know? So then after the story broke, the two guys in charge, one of them came out and was basically like, yeah, we did that shit. A lot of racial jokes in the writing room. They said the writer's room was like a frat house, high school frat house, all white boys just talking shit about women and black people, just all kinds of shit jokes. Just, hey, man, we're just joking. But you can't say anything. Be like, shut the fuck up. You can't say that because then you get fired. So he came out, the one guy, Damon Lindelof, is the dude who did Watchmen, which everybody talked about how well it was done as far as black shit. So that's the new shit now. It's like, well, you know, he's kind of made up for it by doing Watchmen. I'm like, has he made up for it? Because Harold Perrineau went through shit behind this bullshit, dealing with these motherfuckers. Because there ain't shit you can say.
I just pulled up that article. It's a long-ass article.
It's long. I happened to see it, and I was like, let me, what is this about? You know, and as everybody is saying in the chat, it makes sense once you realize that you're like, oh, that's what happened to those characters. That's why. You know, and as Dom will tell you, Dominique, when you're writing a character, that character has to be real to you. When you're writing it, that character is real to you. Why are you doing him like this? Why are you doing him like this? Why are you doing this character like this? Don't do this character like this. I can write you something that'll take this character in the direction you want it to go. The direction I think we should all go. We all agree on this. Ah, fuck that. We're going to do it this way. And then the actor is upset because now it's real for the actor. Yeah, I did know he went to Alvin Ailey. Yeah. Harold Perrineau went to Alvin Ailey. And that was the whole thing, Samantha, that the white characters got all the good shit. All the good shit. Well, that's purposeful. That's purposeful. That's not done by happenstance. Nothing is done by happenstance on any show you happen to be watching. You can see there's a whiteboard, there's story projections, there's all kind of everything is done with a purpose, you know?
Did Lost get canceled or did it like wrap up the story?
It petered out. Because the writers were... started off one way, and then about a year in, as it started getting popular, they started bringing in these other people, and that killed it.
Well, weren't they kind of making up the story as it went along? Like, it wasn't like a grand vision for this arc, right? They just kind of...
That I don't know. I never...
Which, that doesn't have to be bad either. Breaking Bad, they said that they often didn't know how it was going to work out until they sat down to write it, and they didn't... They wound up, you know, writing a great show, but... they didn't have all of it mapped out at the beginning. In fact, I think some of the characters who were on the show for the whole length of the show were supposed to be killed off earlier, and they didn't kill them off, and you know, they were kind of making it up as they went. Of course, that's a great show. And it's also very rare to have everything work out like that.
Never watched shows, so.
You never watched Lost? I feel like there's a whole era of like Lost and Heroes. And were they around the same time? I don't know. Those network dramas that got a lot of buzz. Although I don't know if Heroes got a lot of buzz. I think we just knew people who watched Heroes.
Yeah, that's all. Herbie Gill.
Herbie loved it. Well, I don't know if he loved it, but he watched it a lot. He talked
going
about
going home
it.
To watch it. I got to go home. The Heroes is on.
Yeah. What? And that one kind of petered out too.
Yeah.
Did that guy take over Russia yet? What's going on?
I don't know. It hasn't. Let me look.
I think they stopped.
Oh, they did they? They stopped him?
They didn't stop him. I think.
No. If only we had a site, a website or something that we could go to where people could actually post real shit and journalists could post like the real deal of what was going on. Didn't seem like that long ago we had that, didn't it?
Well, you know, even the news stations weren't really covering it last night. If you turn on the TV, they weren't really talking about it too much.
Yeah, I know.
The head of the Wagner mercenary group said his forces were ending a march on Russian capital after demanding the resignation of the country's top defense officials over alleged failures in the war in Ukraine.
Right. Yeah, I saw a thing about that. The Wagner group, the guy that's running it, he spent years in prison, and then he kind of moved up the ranks in the catering world. He started catering to all these world leaders who would come to Russia, and then wound up being this like military mercenary guy. And Prigozhin, is that his name? Prigozhin?
Prigozhin. Apparently,
several hours ago, this is from 19 minutes ago on Twitter from Michael McFaul. He's a serious minded guy. Just several hours ago, Putin told his entire nation that Prigozhin was a traitor. Can he now just turn around and declare bygones? I'm not sure this is as easy as some are suggesting.
I mean, he is a traitor. But the question is, what was his... people calling it a coup attempt earlier today.
The news reports claim that Wagner boss turns his troops back from Moscow, which doesn't make any sense to me. Putin ordered Prigozhin killed today. How does he walk that back? How does Prigozhin survive after this? Putin never forgives nor forgets. But then Garry Kasparov, former chess master, says, I guess he's not a former chess master. It's a mafia, not a state. And they'll walk back and swallow anything that's profitable. Infighting rarely is. It also exposes the stupidity of saying Putin needs off ramps to say facing Ukraine. He's a dictator and can make up anything he wants.
Right. Also, it's not like if Prigozhin would have somehow succeeded in taking over Russia, you don't want him in charge either. Like, you don't want him with access to nuclear weapons. And I mean, that would destabilize things even further. It's a mess right now over there. That's always the thing about you take out the leader, but whoever fills that space might be worse.
Yeah. All you had to do was keep his ass out of Ukraine. That's all he had to do.
Well, that's what Prigozhin's whole thing was. He lost a lot of his men in Ukraine, and he's now pissed at the Russian military for not supporting, because he had like a separate private army from the Russian army, but they were fighting with Russia.
Yeah, and Russia sent them in first.
Yeah. And
saved their men.
Yeah, well, they lost
Russia's army. Russia's army stinks on ice, though.
And Prigozhin is also one of the people who ran these Russian bot farms that started pushing all that misinformation and disinformation in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of his thing. I mean, it was a rags to riches story. He got out of jail, started a hot dog stand. He started selling hot dogs and opened up a restaurant.
Fox and Friends host Rachel Duffy, Campos Duffy of MTV fame.
Yeah.
Fearfully floating the theory that Prigozhin is working for the U.S. NATO.
Sure, why not? It's all possible. The former hot dog seller and thug Like they're calling him former hot dog seller.
Yeah. So this is today's episode goes up on.
Is he like the Oscar Mayer of Russia? Is that what he is?
Yeah, between then and now.
He's like the who's the guy that was running for president that had the pizza.
See you later.
Was that Herman Cain?
Yeah, he's like the Herman Cain in Russia.
Godfather's pizza. Evgeny Prigozhin, from hot dog seller to Wagner boss. It's a rags to riches story, you know. He started from the bottom, now he's here. From treats to treason. Apparently he's like a hardcore racist too. You know, all the things. He's all the things.
Of course.
White supremacist. That's what somebody said on Twitter. I don't know if it's true. I don't know if the hot dog thing is true, but everyone seems to be saying it. His hot dogs were so good that he wound up starting restaurants that got really popular. And there's pictures of him like catering events where George W. Bush was there. I think there's one where maybe Clinton was there or something like that. Like he was just kind of, you know, putting plates on tables for these guys. And then he became a mercenary.
I mean, it's on the internet. It has to be true.
Yeah, they got pictures of it. Yeah, there's a few articles that are like, from hot dogs to mercenaries, the story of Evgeny Prigozhin.
Oh, well, here's somebody on Twitter spewing some Kamala birtherism.
Kamala birtherism?
Yeah.
She wasn't born here?
Oh, no, she was born here, but her parents, but some way, some convoluted way, because her parents, I don't know. She's making the shit up as she goes, is what it sounds like.
That's what they do.
Yeah.
That's what they all do now.
Kamala was born in Oakland. Where are you from, fool? Oakland. Her, Too Short, the other guy.
E-40. What's his name? Souls of Mischief. All of them. Yeah, Wagner apparently killed someone with a sledgehammer once.
I believe it.
And now he's turning his sights on Vladimir Putin. Which I don't think he can win that one. I think he'll just mysteriously die one day.
Oh, he'll probably just mysteriously die.
You know, he'll just be short of breath.
Fall out a window or...
Yeah, his eyes will start bleeding or something. Something weird will happen. Prigozhin said his nickname as of Putin's chef was stupid, as he could not cook and has never been a chef, quipping that Putin's butcher might be a more apt nickname. Oh, he's got hardcore nicknames.
He's got jokes.
This could have given me a nickname right away, Putin's butcher, and everybody would have been fine. I mean, he cooked those hot dogs. You know, he was renowned for his hot dogs. Would you just boil them or something? he went from like a food truck to invading Ukraine. Yeah, so now he's leading a mutiny, and apparently his target is not Putin. His target is the generals of the Russian army. But what's the difference, you know?
Well, we got emails.
We actually got a couple earlier today, and we got all the ones from last week. So,
well, let's do a couple. We're only going to be here for about 45 more minutes or so. So let's just do a couple.
Well, let's start with the one we just got, the most recent one from Aisha. Email is entitled One for All. Hey, 3GO fan. Damn if I didn't spiral down into an East Coast family hole after listening to episode 1209. I went back and watched the All for One video at least 7 times. That song is still stuck in my head as we speak. Lady V cold chilling on the family tree. Along with watching that video numerous times, I looked up Hayden, watched ABC perform on Showtime at the Apollo via YouTube, listened to a Michael Bivins interview about what happened to Biv 10, watched a Pee Wee All-Stars video, yes, they were a thing, and found out what happened to Khalid. Khalid was apparently Boyz II Men's day-to-day manager that got shot. Oh, that's the one where they just show the cigar and they didn't show the person?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Got shot and killed in a robbery attempt in Chicago. Biv used a cigar in the video as a memorial to Khalid. Boyz II Men even had a song about him on their first album. See how far my ass jumped down the East Coast family hole. Love the show as always, Aisha. Yeah, people were, I think we got a couple tweets about Yvette Nicole Brown. She had tweeted, I guess, confirmation that she was part of the East Coast family back then. We got a couple of people tweeting that to us a couple of weeks ago. So that's confirmed. She still keeps in touch with a few people like Hayden. Hayden, well, Boyz II Men. She had a few people that she listed that she keeps in touch with.
Yeah.
I can't find that tweet right now. But yeah, so the other email we got today was from Stefan. Under Siege 3 submit day is what he calls it. Welcome back, 3GO. Haven't read much on the submarine fiasco, but the Cliff Notes should be telling these stupid ass millionaires and billionaires that DIYing that shit is textbook stupid. Obviously, yeah, lost lives are fucking horrible, but the needless incompetence is hilarious. I mean, the only person with some sense was a 19-year-old. Could have used a 50-plus-year-old white dude to talk about submarines. Jürgen Prochnow could have told you how this shit works because of DOS Boot, which is the shit, by the way. Now, the CEO had to white man it. Hope he gets sued to hell and his stupid ass figures out what common sense is. Take care, y'all. The problem with getting sued to hell is all those release forms they have to sign. They probably waived all claims to financial compensation if the sub went down. The soapbox derby version of a submarine. That's what they were in. We got two messages from Rob. And he said, if y'all have Rod and Karen on the next show, you got to get a new North Carolina update on this story. It seems wild. He sent us the story about, it's a very convoluted story. The North Carolina House Speaker got into like a love triangle. He sent us a tweet. Remember what else was going on in North Carolina around Christmas last year? Surprising rolling blackouts. But the North Carolina House Speaker is in Raleigh, Biscayville, offering corrupt political favors to the guy whose wife he's sleeping with. I don't know if there's been any updates on that. That was a couple weeks ago or a week or two ago. But the other one we got from Rob was one more comment for the crew. I really hope that Rod and the writers would find an excuse to get the divorced Megan Good on Game Theory to rectify this whole nice tie thing back on HQ, but now she's all into Jonathan Majors' mess. You know, they're just friends, her and Jonathan Majors, right?
Well, you don't just go to court with a friend.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's
no, there is no, I don't know. You don't put your name on no shit like that, holding hands with somebody. And just support, you don't do that.
She's just supporting her friend, Jonathan Majors.
Apparently, there's some new eyewitness testimony coming out for him.
Yeah, his lawyer put out that thing that kind of set the table for what their defense is going to be. Like, all the witnesses say they weren't fighting. They say he took selfies with people, apparently, when all this was supposed to be going on. And
yeah, it's not looking good for her.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they're telling us what they are going to say. We don't know what her side is going to say yet. So it remains to be seen. We got a comment from Ryan. We were talking about native tongues, and Ryan said, Moni Love rapped and Queen Latifah sang some vocals on De La Soul's Buddy remix. I think they were in the video too. They were. And when De La Soul's music came out a couple months ago, the Buddy remix was not included on streaming services. And they didn't really have an idea when or if it would be. I guess they had to clear those samples too. But the original Buddy, which was on just one of their albums, is on streaming, but not the Buddy remix. Oh yeah, Rob, this is their message. Rob sent this. I went to Twitter and searched Yvette and East Coast and found out she does still keep up with Hayden and some of them. And her tweet that he linked.
Okay.
Someone had tweeted at her, this is back in 2020. That they had no idea, saw that she was part of the East Coast family. And she said, you never know where I'll pop up or where I have popped up. And the person says, do you still keep in contact with anyone from the East Coast family? She said, yes. Bivens, she tagged a few people, Michael Bivens, Hayden, Big Ant, Aaron from White Guys.
Okay.
MC Brains, Kale B Rock or Kale Brock, I guess. Kale Brock, which is those Calais coaxial. Lady Z,
Coax,
and Boyz II Men, and yeah. So some of these people are on Twitter. MC Brains is on Twitter. Kale or Calais is on Twitter. They don't really seem to have big followings or active accounts. And I don't know if they're still making music. MC Brains, I think, is still making music. He has a website, mcbrainswithaz.com, and he has a couple mixtapes, actually several mixtapes on it that he's put out over the years. He's from Cleveland. He's still doing it. Yeah, Aaron from White Guys is not on Twitter. And Calais, it has 99 followers and hasn't tweeted in since 2020. So seems to be out of the business. And then we got a couple comments. I guess we'll get through all of them. We got a couple from Raphael.
Okay.
Here you go. International correspondent fixed the issue. We had a link that didn't work last time. No poison burning maples from Canada will stop the reporting. The first link was the gaffe by the foreign press, a more exciting, I must say, and the second, the fact check. Hopefully the gaffe is still up by the time of the recording. He sent us an article that says Sweden will soon host the European Sex Championship. Now, I had never heard of the European Sex Championship.
Neither have I. What is that? What is that?
This article is from the Times of India, which I think is a legit publication. We're never sure with Raphael. Sweden will soon host the European Sex Championship. Sweden has formally recognized sex as a sport and will stage its first ever sex tournament the following week. Now, how do you score that? The contestants in the sex tournament will have daily sexual encounters that might last up to 6 hours. A panel of judges will select the judges of the sex competition, and the audience will also weigh in on the choices. The European Sex Championship will begin on June 8th and last for 6 weeks. So still going on. Participants will engage in sexual activity every day for 45 to 1 hour, depending on the length of the bouts.
They're fighting each other.
The couple's chemistry. Is there like a referee at the beginning of it? Protect yourself at all times. Wear condoms at all times. The couple's chemistry, their understanding of sex, and their degree of endurance, etc., will all be taken into account when deciding who will win in the end. What is it?
Do you have to come? Couple? Do you come in as a couple, or
do they match you up?
Is it like figure skating where you pair up and you have a partner?
Your partner at some point?
Is it the same?
Is it a Sadie Hawkins dance? Do the women get to choose?
Is it when they say 6 weeks, is it the same couple every day for 6 weeks, or do you pair off with other people? I'm Googling this thing. The Sanskrit text Kama Sutra, which deals with sex and sexuality, will also be taken into consideration while making decisions. And participants will receive points based on their understanding of it. They got to do like a book report.
So you got to study the Kama Sutra before going in. So
Jimmy said low blows are allowed. They're encouraged.
Obviously.
Obviously.
Wait a minute, study. Though. This is the thing about Raphael. You never really know. You never really know because I just Googled it. And he actually sent us the link to Sweden is not holding a sex championship. Fact check.
Okay. This was bullshit.
Yeah. Times of India is bullshit. A headline on the website Times of India, one of India's most popular and reputable newspapers, reads that Sweden will soon host a European Sex Championship. According to the report, Sweden has officially recognized sex as a sport, et cetera, et cetera. Other mainstream outlets have also carried the claim. Fact check, false. All this information is false. Anna Setzman, spokesperson for the Swedish Sports Confederation, said in a written statement from Stockholm, right now, false information is being spread and some international media about Sweden and Swedish sports. She added, they are vigorously denied. So it's not happening.
Well, doesn't sound like it.
But now I kind of want it to happen.
Yeah.
So do a lot of people too.
That's put an idea in somebody's head.
And also, if you're going to have a European champion, you've got to have like an intercontinental, like North American, maybe champion. And at some point they have to face each other along with all the other continents. You know, I think my money's on South America personally. I bet against them.
Specifically Brazil.
Yeah, Brazil. Every time Brazil wins. And then Raphael sent us one more link. I'm in Europe making sure that NATO drills are up to date, and one of my allies just handed this report from Melania's neck of the woods. I believe in America, the 700 Club folks refer to this as a sign of end times or blame the homosexuals. Is it because we're all technically lesbians and never blame lesbians? Anyway, here's the report. And he sent us an Instagram link. He likes to send Instagram videos that we have to then decipher. Like, what does this have to do with anything? So let's see if we can figure this one out. Why is it about swans trying to fly? Slovakian swans got too high to fly after munching their way through 10,000 euros worth of poppies. Okay. The swans are high. The addicted animal is now being taken to a detox facility.
Unfortunately, they couldn't fly. Why couldn't they fly? Because they were high?
Why do they have this
opium?
Sad-ass saxophone music playing.
Poppies make opium.
Yeah, they got high off pot. They ate a bunch of poppies. They all started bands.
And that is a bass clarinet, by the way. I used to play that instrument.
I don't know why that music was attached.
Probably because the neck of a swan looks like a bass clarinet. Maybe that's why.
Yeah, they can't fly. They're not able to fly. They're high. They can't get high because they're high. So yeah, swan junkies. That's all the comments we had, actually.
Swans are assholes anyway.
Yeah.
Kind of like dolphins.
Or orcas, for that matter.
Well, orcas, I don't know if they're assholes as much as they're just on a mission.
And we got a tweet from James who said, I'm going to start calling her Nikki Whiteley from now on. It's about Nikki Haley. Saying Barack Obama set minorities back by singling them out as victims.
Please. Bitch, please.
Instead of empowering them. Whatever that's supposed to mean.
Bitch, please.
In America, hard work, personal responsibility matter. My parents didn't raise me to think that I would forever be a victim. They raised me to know that I was responsible for my success.
You mean your dad that came here to this country and went to teach in an HBCU for many, many years? That dad?
Well, her parents were able to come here because of the Civil Rights Act.
Because of black people. Yeah.
You know,
period.
Lifting the restrictions on how many people from certain countries were allowed into the U.S., which was basically European countries had no restrictions and darker skinned countries had like limits on how many people could enter the U.S. And so you couldn't come.
Yeah, but that was a long time ago, Andy.
Yeah, it was shortly before our parents came here. That was lifted with the Civil Rights Act.
Thanks to the Civil Rights, thanks to black people.
And then when her father needed a job, he got hired by an HBCU.
Mm-hmm.
And her mother opened a shop in a black area and all her customers are black. So,
and what did Nikki learn from all of that?
She went to an integrated school, although it was a private school, it was mostly white. But yeah,
she went to a segregationist academy.
Well, I'm saying, but she went to a school at her skin tone that she might not have been able to go to had it not been for the Civil Rights Act. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, so she got into a school that basically indoctrinated her to think white, so to speak. And her entry into that school was probably due in part to the Civil Rights Act, but the whole movement.
They're like, look, we understand that, you know, the Civil Rights Act got you into the school.
Yeah.
But here, think about this.
Yeah, don't be a victim. So she's parroting all that bullshit. And, you know, Michael Harry did a long thread about it. A few people talked about it. He had a nice classic Michael Harry. He summed it all up.
Like, yeah.
Tweet 34, ties it all up in a bow somehow. But she's defending the Confederate flag flying in South Carolina, which was never even, it was the Virginia battle flag. It was never even flown in South Carolina during the Civil War. And she defended keeping it up, you know, shit like that. And now she's doing all the dog whistle shit to the Republicans. I guess she's trying to become vice president because she's not going to be president.
No, I don't know. I don't even think she's working for that as much as she's working for just some sort of cabinet position.
Yeah. Grifting her way into a job, basically.
On the backs of black people, of course.
Right.
and by being beholden to whiteness.
Also, the Confederate flag only started flying in South Carolina as a response to the civil rights movement.
Exactly. The same movement that kept her parents out of this country.
Right.
The same movement that the same people who flew that flag with who tried to keep her parents out of the country.
Right. And so she's defending that flag, which was never a flag of South Carolina in the first place.
Well, you know, she has a black son-in-law, so.
Right.
So she loves black people, you know.
She's learning, you know, slowly. She's just not, you know, Barack Obama made everyone feel like victims. That's all.
Barack Obama's fault. You're right.
Yeah. Even though everything about. Alive? Do what?
I said, are her parents still alive?
I think they are.
I don't know.
I wonder what they're like. What they're saying to her, like.
They ain't gonna say shit to her. They ain't gonna say shit.
They're happy for her. That's their daughter.
Thank you, Lakita. They don't care. They got their money off black people. They don't give a fuck. They got into this country because of us. They made money off us. They don't give a fuck.
Because I dare my son or daughter to do some shit like this.
Yeah, and thank you, Lakita. They sent her to a white private school. They sent her to a segregation academy. They didn't want her. They didn't want her consorting with us. It would have been a whole different. I was thinking about this the other day. Whenever somebody white is near black people through by association, becomes black adjacent, it goes very well. You know, like the you can kind of see it on the white person. It goes well. You know, if everybody from Billy Crystal to Jane Fonda to Daryl Hall and John Oates, it goes well. But when a black person becomes adjacent to white people, it goes bad. Just nothing good comes from that. Just nothing. Tim Scott, just see all black Republicans, just all black Republicans, just nothing.
CJ Pearson,
nothing good comes.
He's still around, CJ Pearson. Hey, Obama, I'm not a victim.
Nothing good comes from that. It never ends well. It never ends well. It always ends good the other one way, but never the other way. Just never.
Right. Christian Walker is trying to rebrand, right? Herschel Walker's son.
I mean, he doesn't have a choice. Like I said in the chat, what's he going to do now that, you know, Daddy Dearest is done? He's got to do something else.
He moved back to California.
By the way, Herschel is gone. You ain't heard nothing from Herschel Walker.
No Herschel Walker. No Dr. Oz.
Nope. Gone.
Gone. All those people are gone. They were grifting. Herschel went moved back to his house in Texas, which is where he actually lives. Christian Walker basically deleted all of his political posts, moved back to California, and said he has grown as a person.
What's that mean, Christian?
Yeah. What does that mean?
All right, here's a tweet. This is a tweet that we had this in the group chat. He has grown as a person. I guess he's maturing. You know, he's still a young guy and finding out who he really is and embracing it, all that shit. So this is someone kind of dunking on that on Twitter.
If you didn't know already, it seems like conservative influencer Christian Walker is officially done with politics. Recently, Christian moved back to the blue state of California after moving to the red state of Florida, and this is what he had to say.
I'm not going to live a life angry at everything. That's not going to characterize my life. I mean, I don't even recognize what I was doing, to be quite honest. So happy to be here. So happy to just be going down a different path, and I am just so happy.
Now, this comes after Christian had a huge breakdown after moving to Florida to be around more conservatives and exposing his father for alleged abuse against his mother. On top of that, Christian changed the caption on his Florida Reveal post to a long paragraph to keeping this up, but it didn't work out, LMAO. He's also taken down all of his political story highlights, taken down a lot of political posts, and now calls himself infamous. Will you forgive and forget the infamous?
I believe I did, Keisha.
Was that him at the end with in front of the pride and trans already, flags with his middle finger up? That's from his trolling days, I guess.
Yeah.
So, down. You know, the thing about Christian Walker is if he's grown as a person or changed his views, whatever, but he doesn't get to have a voice in that movement. He's forfeit. He's got to go stand at the back of the line and let everyone else do the talking.
It's just predictable. They're predictable. They're 100% predictable. They're 100% predictable. How's he going to live with his gay ass in Florida? How's he going to do that? How's he going to live there and be happy? How are you going to do that?
Well, remember, he would go to Starbucks and yell at gay people.
His gay black ass in Florida. How are you going to do that?
That's what he figured out. He was like, oh, shit.
How are you going to do that?
I made a mistake.
It's not going to work.
Right.
How are you going to do that? It's your black gay ass in Florida. What are you doing?
He still has a Twitter account. His pinned tweet is still from his anti-woke podcast called Uncancelable from June of 2021.
DL saying in the chat room, wait for Tim Scott. No, Tim Scott is in it. He's not getting out. This is it for him. He's going to be that black man to the end of his days. This cat is young and gay. You get angle work done. There's too much black gay hate coming at you in Florida. You can't do that. Tim Scott moves in circles where he can get away with that bullshit.
Now, has he totally embraced the gay? Because I thought there was a point in time where he was like, Christian? No, I'm not gay. Yeah.
Yeah. He tried. Sure. Sure.
I mean, it's obvious to us.
Sure. It's obvious to him too.
Christian Walker on his Twitter bio has a website, officialchristianwalker.com. And when you click on the link, it takes you to a generic Shopify page. To finish setting up your new web address, go to your domain settings and click connect existing domain and enter official Christian Walker. So
he's now come to Christian Walker is probably not even 30.
He must have had a Shopify account to sell merch.
Now he's coming to realize that, what am I going to do now?
Oh yeah, he's definitely not 30. I don't think he's,
you know, so what am I going to do now? That's where he's reached that soon.
And you know, he's 23, by the way.
Yeah.
I don't think he can get on Dancing with the Stars. How else can he rehab his image?
Yeah. I mean, he's got time, but he just has to, first of all, it has to be genuine. And the thing about it is, you got to be willing to take the slings and arrows, and he ain't gonna. Thank you, DL. And they say, walk and kiss my ass. See, that's what it is. He's not going to be able to. You got to be able to be willing to let some like Dom say to you, you can kiss my ass. You got to be willing to be like, okay, I get it. He ain't on me. He can't do that shit. He's done. He can have a life in California. At least he'll have a better life than living in Florida.
Go home.
But
go back to California.
He's done.
Yeah. Well, maybe he's trying to find a new grift. The guy who took the wrong path and found the error of his ways.
It's possible. I don't, like I said, it has to be genuine.
Well, that's the thing. He can't look
people in the face when they tell you to kiss their ass. You got to be able to be like, you're right.
Right. He can't be a prominent voice for any kind of gay rights or trans rights movement.
Oh, no.
Can't be trusted.
No.
Oh, yeah. The community's not going to accept him.
Can't trust you, nor should they.
He also did burn bridges on the right.
Yeah.
It's not just the Herschel Walker stuff. He was talking about other people like, oh, you remember when you hit on me and grabbed my ass and all that shit.
And which, so, by the way, I'm very sure all that happened.
Well, but I'm saying that's going to take him. That's going to make him an outcast there. You know, it's to say to more powerful people, I'm going to air your dirty laundry. Then he can't fit in there anymore. You know, he can't be that conservative gay guy who talk shit about liberals or trans people. So that's out. He burned that bridge and he doesn't have anything on the left. So he's trying to rehab his image. And he was dunking on Dinesh D'Souza back in like after the election. Yeah. So, you know, whatever. That's the problem with social media era. You can't escape your bullshit.
Right.
You can't just move to a new town and be a new person. It's all out there, especially if you're that guy. It's all out there. Should have thought about that shit before you posted it.
Yeah, and you just can't delete it either. Because once you post it, it's posted forever. Don't care if you delete it or not.
Yep.
Go home.
Go home. Fucking ridiculous.
He's texting Terrence K. Williams and he's not texting him back. You know, He's an outcast even in that world. Why won't CJ Pearson return my calls? Pick up your phone, CJ Pearson.
Now, Christian, you know, I'm a pull myself up by the bootstraps kind of guy.
Even Herschel won't return his texts anymore. That's how much of an outcast he is. I don't even know what CJ Pearson is up to. There's a whole bunch of those guys who were all like in their mid or early 20s.
Wasn't CJ Pearson going to an HBCU?
I think he changed his school a couple different times. He was going to go to one school, then he changed it to another school. I don't know. I think he was going to someplace in the South.
Or he was trying to go to an HBCU, and I think that they were like, yeah, no.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. Like, he was trying to go to his HBCU. They were like, you can't get in here.
Right.
He got mad about that.
He's 20 years old. So he's still pretty young.
CJ?
Yeah, CJ Pearson.
But he should be close to graduating from college, though. So
that's if he went. I mean, Liberty's out there. When did he go to Liberty?
He hosts a show on Prager University.
God. That racist piece of shit. I cut a pastor off that I know because he reposted something from Prager. I was like, what the fuck? I'm done.
Prager University. Oh, and he does these trolling videos where he goes and talks to liberals and asks them questions and they look dumb and he posts it. He posted on May 12th, I decided to go out on the streets of Los Angeles yesterday and give out free history lessons. And he's talking about critical race theory with random people on the street and probably trying to stump them. Yeah, he's just trying to be a troll. He's just trying to be a right-wing troll. That's the only lane for a guy like that. Yeah, he's on Prager. He linked to his wrap up about the Ocean Gate submarine. So,
did you hear this guy just posted?
It's Obama's. It's Biden's fault.
Can I follow on Twitter? Sons of Killmonger and a disciple of Dark Brandon with a Baldwin meme for his face. Says, sorry if the truth hurts. After hearing the anger, I'm never sorry about the truth hurting, but okay. That's just me. Sorry if the truth hurts, but after hearing the anger of Chelsea Clinton at the Aspen Hill Summit regarding Roe and responses from her gender, I'm convinced that the only reason we'll never have a woman in the Oval Office is white women, period. Did y'all see what Chelsea said? It wasn't even that big a thing. You know, I was like, well, I listened to it. She's just reflecting how people feel. You're right, Lakita. Son of Killmonger be going hard, you know, but it's just she just said what it's out there, Andy. You can find it. And white women were like dumping on her. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Where was she at, like a speaking engagement or on a show?
She was talking to that sister from MSNBC about she asked her about how she, you know, because it's been a year now since Roe has been taken away. You know.
Chelsea Clinton shares candid thoughts. Yeah, I think that's it.
It was candid.
Chelsea Clinton shares candid thoughts on the.
She came out with the old number one. She threw the high fastball right down the pipe.
Here's the clip. Well, this is from one of those Now This pages that compiles these clips.
Chelsea, what are your reflections 1 year after Roe?
I'm really angry. And I am, and that is an uncomfortable place to be, because
not for black
historical
people,
women tropes that so often have been used to kind of silence and diminish kind of women and our voices, not only in this country, you know, but throughout human history. But I'm really angry because We know that women have died. Mm-hmm. And so it shouldn't matter that we don't yet have a federal registry. Mm. When you have families and you have physicians and you have midwives saying, you know, this woman died because she was 4 days into sepsis because someone still judged that her fetus might be viable, and so they were worried about providing medically indicated necessary care, and she died? Like, that isn't up for debate. Mm-hmm. And so we knowingly have moved forward, because we haven't gone back, like we're in 2023, like we have moved forward to again a time in which we are making women more vulnerable because of a very extreme, narrowly rendered view of Christian white nationalism.
And of course, white women went hard.
Wait, hard against her?
Yeah.
Because of the Christian white part?
I don't know why. Maybe that's what it was. Probably.
I mean, well, these are white conservative women, probably, that went hard.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. But the thing is, even like white progressive women will come out. Well, you can't really say that.
And I'm like, yes, we can.
Why can't I?
Well, you know, they don't like the singling out white Christians. They're victims, you know, the white Christians.
Are they?
They're victims of society, and everyone's out to get them.
Are they?
They're just following the Bible.
Yeah, I guess some Chelsea Clinton
book,
is.
Some book some guy wrote that he said that God wrote.
Right. Chelsea Clinton's pretty active on Twitter. Yeah. She's posting about the Peter Hotez, Joe Rogan debate.
Which I'm
Peter
sure
Hotez is on Twitter too. Yeah, we haven't talked about that yet. RFK Jr.
Yeah. Oh God.
RFK Jr. went on Joe Rogan, I don't know, now 2 weeks ago, week and a half ago, and spewed all of his bullshit, even more bullshit about
this dude. I'm like,
Wi-Fi makes your brain bleed or something. It diminishes the blood brain barrier. I don't even know if that's a thing, but that's what it does. Wi-Fi, 5G, of course, vaccines cause autism, and a lot of COVID misinformation. Peter Hotez, who has been on Rogan's show, and who has done like all the news shows, just kind of tweeted like, hey, this is bullshit. What's this guy talking about?
Right.
And then Joe Rogan was like, debate him on my show. Right. You know, that bullshit debate me culture. Because Peter Hotez says Spotify has stopped even sort of trying to stem the tide of Rogan's vaccine misinformation. And Rogan quote tweeted Peter Hotez, Peter, if you claim what RFK Jr. is saying, misinformation, I'm offering you $100,000 at a charity of your choice if you're willing to come.
Are you?
And now I think the offer has increased to like $500,000 or something like that.
Okay.
To come debate. A quack like RFK Jr.
As Lakita's saying in the chat, take care, Tamara. Be safe out there. As Lakita's saying in the chat, you don't debate science.
Well, the debate is the work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, you don't literally have a podium and like and debate. What is gravity? You go now. You. That's not how it works. Debate is the work. So when you publish papers and someone else 2.5 years later publishes another paper, that's the debate. You know, so. Show your work, basically. All this other stuff about showing up and being the best talker doesn't matter. You can be good at debate and have the wrong position.
Yeah, I've had a friend, quote unquote, that she would always argue just random shit. And she'd be like, well, studies have shown that. And I'm like, what studies? Show me that study.
My own personal study that I did myself.
Let me read your study.
And 9 times out of 10, that would shut her up for the rest of the night.
Right.
And I'm like, show me this study that you're talking about.
Right.
And she couldn't produce. She would act like she's looking for it. And then as the conversation around the table goes on, she'd kind of just put her phone down and just kind of just... And then me being an asshole that I am, I'm like, did you find that study?
Right.
And she's I can't seem to find it right now.
I was looking for it. I got it bookmarked at home. I'll get it to you later.
Do you have a computer in your pocket?
It's just, I got a bad signal. You know what? It's because I turned off the 5G because it'll give you cancer and autism. And
are we at the bottom of the, are we at the bottom of the ocean?
I mean, might as well be. Aaron Rodgers said something about Peter Hotez. Like all these people are ganging up on Peter Hotez, who made a patent-free vaccine for COVID.
Yeah, for the good of everyone.
Yeah. I mean, fucking Aaron Rodgers of all people.
Who has spent his life working for the betterment of humanity.
Right. And now he's in the middle of this debate me bullshit, debate me culture. Because even if he was to win the debate, quote unquote, whatever that even means to you, people will just chop up the clips and pass them around right-wing media to show, you know, other things that didn't
actually
happen.
I don't even think they have to do that.
That's what they'll do, though.
I think all they have to do is say he didn't.
Well, then they'll definitely claim victory because that's what people always do. You know, and then, but they will chop up clips to make him look like he said something different than what he said. And it'll just be a nonsense. It'll be a waste of everyone's time. Right. RFK was an anti-vaxxer before COVID.
Right.
He denied the HIV is linked to AIDS. You know, he has all these crazy takes that have gotten crazier and crazier over the years. He's running for president. His people running his pack are all MAGA people.
Andy and I were talking about this yesterday. Let me ask you, ladies, the ladies of the chat. So ladies. Listen up, Holmes.
Hey, girl.
I had to say that, of course. Listen up, Holmes. I personally, and I'm talking about this in the car yesterday, if your husband, they oftentimes say you can't blame a wife for the actions of a husband. And on many things, I will agree with that. But if your husband is on some anti-vax, I'm looking at Kirby Jones because hers is the only avatar that's alive. So I have to look her in the face as we do this. If your husband is on some anti-vax shit, on some like some serious anti-vax shit, not no fucking around, you know, like some serious anti-vax. Well, slow down, Lakita. Let's not jump ahead. Like some serious anti-vax shit.
RFK is married to Cheryl Hines, the actress who was on Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Serious anti-vax shit. Some serious. All this. You hear the shit that this man is spewing. And I'm supposed to look at you sideways, don't you? How am I supposed to extract? I can't extract you from that. There's no possible way. Like you. You have to be part of that. You can't not be part of that. I don't understand how. Yeah, well,
so,
like you said, to be fair, my husband is dumb. Okay, I understand that.
So they got, I'm looking at their Wikipedia.
I can't.
They got married in 2014. They don't have any kids. They've been married for 9 years. So because we were talking about whether they have on the phone, whether they have kids or anything.
Yeah, we couldn't feel if they had kids or not.
They got married later in life. Yeah. So this is his third wife, I think. He's got a bunch of kids from his first previous marriages. I don't think the two of them have any kids.
Notice the word previous marriage.
Yeah.
Ask that previous wife about that marriage and see what she has to say.
But my point about them being married in 2014 is that I think he was doing the autism vaccine shit prior to that. Because what we were talking about,
as LaToya just said, she knew because we knew.
Well, yeah, what we were talking about was you're married to someone for years and then they make that turn. They start believing it's shit on social media and you spend maybe 2, 3, 5 years trying to pull them out of it. And there are a lot of stories of people who have gone through that. And sometimes the marriage ends. Sometimes they're able to pull the person out of it. Sometimes they just live with it. You know, there's the whole subreddit called QAnon casualties of people talking about their family members who have fallen into that. And, you know, they try and try and try. And eventually they say, fuck it, I'm out. So we were wondering about what this dynamic is. Like, is she, because they had a party at their house last year that made the news because she said you must be vaccinated or wear a mask or whatever it was. I think vaccinated to attend the party. Meanwhile, he's the biggest anti-vaxxer, the loudest one in the country. So married in 2014, I think he was doing the autism shit back in like 05.
Right.
You know, and his voice is, the reason his voice is kind of quivery, his voice is like squiggle vision in vocal form. he has a disorder in his vocal cords that no one really knows what causes it. It's a rare thing. Some people think it's genetic. Some people think it's something else. He had an implant to actually make his voice sound better. This is the improved version that we hear now. He blames that on a flu vaccine. Apropos of nothing, he just says he thinks the flu vaccine years ago, 20-some years ago, caused that. So she's been married to him for 9 years. Let's say they were dating a few years before that. So she came into it during his anti-vax phase. Yeah, and to me, that's important because she didn't come into it when he was a different person and he kind of.
So I'm not supposed to look at you sideways? Because so that right there is one thing. Okay. Now you're trying to run to be president of this country, right? That everything now is open. That's right. That was the whole thing about Michelle Obama. Was like, I don't know if we really want to do this. Everything's open now. Every part of you. And your husband is out of his fucking mind.
And getting worse.
Yeah. And he's spiraling.
So whatever she's been trying to do to rein him in, it hasn't worked. If she's been trying to.
So what am I supposed to do? So what I need to know, ladies, am I wrong for looking sideways at him? Obviously the chat room is like, you know, I gotta be like, at some point you believe the shit, you're with him. That's, you have to be. That's like the race. Have you ever seen a movie about the El Paso basketball team, the black team that played the first game?
Oh yeah. My ex-wife loved that movie.
Yeah. So they played Adolph Rupp's team out of Kentucky that Pat Riley was his point guard, by the way.
Right.
And this all black team beat them. And the coach of it was at that time, it's UT. It's in El Paso. It's UT something or other. It's a UT.
UTEP.
It wasn't then.
UTEB. Texas El Paso.
Like, I'm only playing the black players. He had white players on his team. He's like, I'm only playing black players. We're going to prove a point. Glory Road. Thank you, Ryan.
There he is.
Like, yeah. We're going to prove a point. Okay. So this Adolph Rupp is a crazy racist. It's not even a question, right? And then they introduce his wife character because she's supposed to soften him up. She's talking to the wife of the other coach, Texas Western. Thank you. And I'm like, am I supposed to believe that his wife's not racist like him? Really? You expect me to believe that? That's what they do and stuff like this, because that seems to be she's probably not as bad. I'm like, she's married to this fucking evil, this black-hearted human being. Am I supposed to believe that she's not like that? You expect me to believe that? Why would I believe that?
Remember when RFK, remember they had that anti-vax rally in D.C.?
He was here.
A year and a half ago. He was here. And he brought up, he made some kind of comparison to the Holocaust. Saying that, you know, like some kind of Anne Frank reference. Cheryl Hines, this is January of 2022. Cheryl Hines condemns husband Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s anti-vaccine comments, which invoked Anne Frank.
Now you got to make excuses for the motherfucker.
She said, my husband's reference to Anne Frank at a mandate rally in D.C. was reprehensible and insensitive. That was about mask mandates. The atrocities that millions endured during the Holocaust should never be compared to anyone or anything. His opinions are not a reflection of my own. However,
do you know why she did that?
That tweet has been deleted.
Do you know why she did that? Because she works in Hollywood. That's why she did that.
Well, she deleted that tweet. Yeah. Her Twitter account is still up, but she deleted that tweet.
Isn't that weird?
This is her Twitter account.
Isn't that weird?
Happy Father's Day. This is about her father. I guess the two of them don't have kids, but I wonder if she wished RFK Jr. Happy Father's Day because he has six kids.
That's when his ex-wife pops on a thing. You fucking leave him at Father's Day, bitch.
She's all about the environment. You know, she seems pretty normal. At some point, I mean, he's not going to gain traction as a presidential candidate, but at some point, if he did, she'd have to do interviews and answer questions, not just about the Hitler and Frank thing, but about everything else too.
I bet the Kennedy family is like, what the fuck is you doing?
All of his siblings.
Every family's got one.
All of his siblings have said it's bullshit. He's full of shit.
I was thinking about it too, and I was like, what the fuck? You're a Kennedy. And then I think about our family. I'm like, yeah.
Your family's got one or two.
We got a couple in there, so I could see it happening.
I think Kellyanne and her husband have gotten divorced now. He's a piece of shit too, by the way.
Yeah, they've separated at least.
But he's a piece of shit. So then, you know, they trot him out like he's like the good Republican. I'm like, he's a piece of shit. Stop it.
He just is anti-Trump.
Yeah.
You know, which, but I don't, he'd probably vote for DeSantis.
Yeah.
You know, or Glenn Youngkin. RFK siblings, there's an article from April of this year.
They all are like, fuck this kid.
RFK Jr. can't count on family support to take on Biden. They say they love him. They use words like heartbroken and tragic. It's the vaccine skepticism, which includes a book about, quote, the real Anthony Fauci, and saying Anne Frank was better off than Americans under supposed vaccine mandates because she could at least hide from the Nazis. Insisting that Sirhan Sirhan didn't actually shoot RFK. And breaking with many, yeah, he said the CIA did it, and breaking with many in the family years ago to argue for the assassin's parole. He wants parole for the guy that killed his father. Mm-hmm. Now it's, and also this is another thing separate from that, but we're getting a lot of candidates now who've never held office before in and on any level.
That's the Trump effect.
Yeah,
it's RFK, it's fucking Cornel West, Marianne Williamson, all these people who want Vivek Ramaswamy. They're getting headlines, they're getting on the Sunday morning talk shows.
And it's the effect of, and people have been doing this for years, I hate politicians because they're this and they're that.
Right.
I hate politicians. We need someone who's not a politician to do politics?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
RFK Jr. was big into the environmental movement before he made this anti-vax turn. And he was very successful as an advocate for, you know, clean air and all that shit. So he has this track record where he was like a good liberal. And then at some point he just made this turn. And Peter Hotez has already talked with, they've already had conversations mm-hmm. in front of audiences. Mm-hmm. Multiple times before COVID, when they were talking about autism and vaccines. Peter Hotez has an autistic daughter, and he wrote a book about it. And he talked to Robert Kennedy and explained to him why the vaccines didn't cause the autism, and it didn't matter. No. What's the point of talking to this guy?
A guy like Cornel West, I don't know what's driving Robert Kennedy, but I know a guy like Cornel West, he just wants to hurt the Democratic Party. He literally does.
Right.
The Democrats are bad for Black people. Okay, so what do you want to do?
Yeah,
we need another party. Really? You think another party can be elected in this country? Why should you be in charge of anything? Now Jill Stein's sucking his dick. There you go.
Well, also, I mean, he's never held office before. Like, if he became president, he wouldn't know what the fuck to do. And now this is the latest. Jill Stein, the former Green Party candidate for president, is now helping to run Cornel West's third party bid with the goal of getting him on the ballot as a Green Party candidate in 2024. Oh,
Jesus fucking Christ.
And Lakita said, where's Mike P? I mean, there's so many possible Russian assets out there. RFK is being basically propped up by Steve Bannon, and all these people working on his political action committee are all MAGA people. Cornel West, who knows? I mean, if Jill Stein's in his corner, that's not good. None of them have held office before. They've never run for anything other than president.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they'll get 1,000 votes, maybe.
Yeah, well, they just want to peel off like a few thousand votes from the left, because that's really the margins these days are just that.
Because they want to hurt Democrats.
It's gonna be like 1%.
Oh, the money's good. Don't think it's not. That speaking engagement money.
Yeah.
That donation money is good.
And all these people who are demanding that Joe Biden debate RFK and any other challengers were not demanding that Trump debate his challengers as the incumbent in 2019 and 2020. All these people on the left are like, it's only fair that you debate. No, the incumbent doesn't do that. He's the party's choice. He got the most votes in the history of this country.
Yeah. What is that? I ain't debating shit.
Yeah.
Y'all debate amongst yourselves.
Right. I won't show up. You can just have a podium for me. I'm not going to be there. They call his name. No one walks out.
The president of the United States, Joe Biden.
I'd send Hunter out
president
there
Biden?
To piss people off.
In his stead is his son, Hunter.
They want to hurt Democrats. They literally want to hurt Democrats.
Yeah.
Well, we don't like the. You listen to Charlamagne and them talk. I don't want to be caping for the Democratic Party. I'm like, what are you talking about? Just telling the truth? How's that caping? You know, what Charlamagne really meant to say was, I don't want to lose credibility with these other black people that follow me.
Yeah, well, then also, because they don't endorse Republicans, but what they do is just they endorse the whole mentality of stay home, don't vote, protest vote, whatever, which either way helps Republicans.
Yep.
So they'll say they don't want to help Republicans, but they're trying to help Republicans, or they'll make up some shit like Biden has done nothing. And then there's a whole long list of shit that he's done, but they don't care. They'll just act like he's done nothing. Democrats have never done anything. Well, here's the long ass list of things.
Here's the list.
My internet's down. I can't find it.
List.
Yeah. So RFK is not done. I mean, he's Wi-Fi kills your blood brain barrier, whatever that even means. That's not the last thing he's going to believe. It's stupid. There's more shit coming.
Absolutely. There is.
He's going to be a flat earther one of these days.
He probably already is. He just hasn't brought that out yet.
Right.
That's going to come on a debate stage.
Man, there's no such thing as planets.
Planets, man.
There's no such thing as the moon. Really? You believe in the moon?
Why do you believe that, man?
You believe in the sun and stars? Fucking sheep.
Why would you believe that, man? Jesus. Or however his little funky ass voice sounds.
It's a little quivery. He's got a little quivering kind of sound to his voice.
I mean, his family's from Boston, so he's got that.
Got that Boston accent, a little quiver in his
Boston
voice.
Accent.
Vaccines caused this thing in my voice. The data shows.
Does it?
I need some chowder.
Ridiculous, man.
You want to talk about this guy who robbed a woman and asked her on a date?
I actually want to bring this one home.
Oh, okay. It's a funny video. I was going to say we could end on that.
Yeah, bring it home. Let's see it.
All right. This woman got robbed. Literally, man walked up to her and robbed her. And then asked to be added on Facebook. If you're being robbed and the robber asks to add you on Facebook, you got to say yes. Because now you have their name.
I was inspired by those who reached the top and brought technology along on their dreams.
Now it's not going to play. Watch. Maybe we won't close on this. What the fuck?
Hit don't want to play.
I'm going to refresh it, see if it works.
I was inspired by those who reached the top and brought technology along on their dreams.
Skip ad.
Police say last month, outside of a home on Harlan Street on Indy's southeast side, a woman was out checking her mail around 4 o'clock in the morning after her work shift, when a man police later identified as Damian Boyce approached her, pointed a gun at her, and stole $100 in cash from her. Afterwards, Boyce allegedly asked the victim, with the gun still pointed at her, if she had a boyfriend, and then asked if she would add him on Facebook.
Court records show Boyce pointed out his profile to the victim and watched her add him, saying he would pay the money he stole back to her. He then fled the scene on a bicycle. The probable cause affidavit.
Ballsy.
This guy rolls up on a bike, robs a woman at gunpoint, takes $100 out of her pocket, and says, "What are you doing later?" Basically. Hey, what happened?
Because I know what I want to be doing later. You, baby. Huh?
I'm only going to be robbing people for the next 2 or 3 hours. Then I'm off. What are you doing this morning?
Same day, the two exchange Facebook messages. Boyce saying, look, just know I'm going to pay you back. It's an expletive way to meet, but expletive. You is too pretty to rob.
I want this guy reading every Facebook exchange.
Pretty to rob.
The expletive, victim, you is too pretty to rob.
Pretty to rob. The victim replied, I believe you, man. I could tell you're sweet. Times just get rough. I know that. Boyce sent more, saying, I feel like a total expletive. I swear I got you. What's your Cash App tag? Or you could send it when I'm ready. Then continued, for real, I'm expletive. We had to meet up on them terms. Come chill with me. I swear I'm not on that type of timing. The victim replied, what? I do have a man. You know I can't do that, LOL. I wish you the best, though. Court records show Boyce was charged with armed robbery.
Hey, I noticed when I was robbing you, you had a nice ass. So, why don't you bring it over here? You want that $100 back? What do you say? Come on.
Wednesday.
Oh, wow.
Also, show Boyce was arrested and charged in a separate incident last week.
They sent that many cars?
Yeah, seriously. They sent that many people for one dude.
Weapon, amongst other charges.
Oh, it's because when they arrested him on some other shit from like, battery and robbery.
In that incident, he allegedly shot two people and hit someone else in the head with a brick. Boyce is doing court Thursday afternoon.
They probably didn't add him on Facebook though. he shot somebody, but they probably said, no, I'm not going to add you on Facebook. You got to know how to finesse these people.
This dude is a menace.
The victim replied, I believe you, man.
Look, just know I'm going to pay you back. It's an expletive up way to me.
Listen,
but
listen, young Mr. White, this is not how you date anybody. I see you, young man, staring in. This is not how you approach these women's, okay, young man. This is not how it's done.
You definitely don't rob them first. He had $100 in his pocket.
This dude is a menace. He is a menace.
Hey, thanks for that $100. Now I can pay my cell phone bill. Now that my phone bill is paid, let me get on Facebook and DM this lady.
Back. It's an expletive way to meet, but expletive. You is too pretty to rob.
Damn, you is too pretty to rob. But you robbed her.
Yeah.
What the hell?
The victim replied, I believe you, man. I could tell you're sweet. Times just get rough. I know that.
She's playing him right there. She's trying to keep the conversation going, get some information off
so they can track on it.
Yeah.
Boyce sent more, saying, I feel like a total expletive. I swear I got you. What's your Cash App tag? Or you could send it when I'm ready.
He's going to Cash App her the money that he stole from her with no interest, probably.
Then continued, for real, I'm expletive. We had to meet up on them terms. Come chill with me. I swear I'm not on that type of timing.
He's trying to do armed robbery and chill. That the degree of difficulty on this. Come chill with me at my house. Hey, remember when I put a gun in your face and demanded all the money in your pocket? Why don't you come over?
Let's just put all that aside for a second. Listen, don't worry. Don't think about that. Think about the future, what the future can be with us.
I can only imagine if he pulled this off.
Right. You're going to go to his house and expect him to be cool? Like, he's not going to pull the gun out at the house and force you to do other things?
He's like, hey, remember this?
It's a scorpion and the frog. It's like,
let's role play.
But I'm a scorpion.
The victim replied, I do have a man. You know I can't do that. LOL.
Now, remember earlier in the story, when he asked her to add him on Facebook, he said, do you have a man? And she said, no. So now, in the safety of her own home, she says she has a man. Who cares if it's true or not? She's just trying to end the conversation.
Well, I wish you the best, though.
I wish you the best. Good luck to you.
Yeah, good luck.
Like a Bryant Gumbel.
And finally.
Ashley says, how fine would he have to be to pull this off? That's the question.
God bless and good night.
If he was like Idris Elba level, could he pull this? I'm sure he could with somebody. He could find some woman who would be like, you know what? It's just it'll be a crazy story when we tell our grandkids how we met. He robbed me at gunpoint.
Is this a kind of a guess the race kind of thing?
I don't know if we have a mugshot of this guy.
Well, based on the way he's talking, I'm going to go with black.
I mean, the guy.
Also,
the guy
based on how many cop cars went to go pick him up, you know.
Yeah. That's true.
That might have been file footage. We don't know. But yeah, I guess Latoya's right. Idris Elba wouldn't be robbing you in front of your mailbox at 4 a.m. on a bike. We forgot that part. He left on a bike. That's not a keeper. That's not a man that a woman's going to want, that he's robbing people at bike point. You know what I mean? Like, if he got into a nice car and drove away, maybe.
Saying he would pay the money he stole back to her. He then fled the scene.
But why wouldn't he just give it back to her on the spot? He said, add me on Facebook and I'll pay the money back.
Well, he had the money. Well, he wanted to make sure she contacted him. Yeah.
He made her pull out her phone in front of him at gunpoint and add him on Facebook. I don't know. I think there are.
Is that the new flex? Give me a number, bitch. Give me a number.
That's basically it. And he rode away on a bike with like the little bell ringing, little tassels hanging off the handlebars.
On a bicycle.
And he's got him on one of his kids' bikes.
Right. He's on a big wheel. He's like, yeah, but it's a green machine, right?
Joe Boyce pointed out his profile to the victim and watched her at him, saying he would pay the money he stole back to her. He then fled the scene on a bicycle. The probable cause affidavit shows that same day the two exchanged Facebook messages. Boyce saying,
oh, he rolled away on a bike. I mean, even if he didn't rob her at gunpoint, hitting on a woman at 4 a.m. outside of her mailbox and then riding away on a bike is going to get you nowhere.
I mean, we don't know that.
If you're Idris Elba, that might work.
We don't know that.
Maybe Idris Elba out for a morning jog. His shirt's all sweaty. He's glistening. And he runs up to you. Hey, girl. Hey, girl.
We don't know what was in her heart.
We don't know. Also, you don't want to give someone your identity when you're robbing them. That's the dumbest thing ever. That's your real name and picture on Facebook. Akita said you wouldn't call the cops because he knows your house. I think you got to call the cops.
Well, you call the cops, they ain't coming. You know, that's it.
I mean, you have his name and his profile picture. And probably the model of his bike. the make and model of his Huffy 100 or whatever he drove away on. It wasn't a mongoose, tell you that much.
Look, just know I'm going to pay you back. It's an expletive way to meet, but expletive. You was too pretty to rob.
Damn, you was too pretty to rob.
You can't say damn.
D, 3 exclamation points. Damn. You was too pretty to rob, but I robbed you.
The victim replied, I believe you, man. I could tell you're sweet. Times just get rough. I know that.
Oh, she knows exactly what to say to a guy like that. He's like an incel type, it seems like. Yeah, I don't know. You got to call the cops if you're a woman in that situation. Lakita said, just keep the money. Just keep the $100 and call it a day.
Yeah, I guess.
Hey, what's your Tinder profile? Let me watch you swipe right on me. As he holds the gun to her face. Swipe right, goddammit. Gets home. Oh, a match.
Let me get your Instagram.
Hey, how about this? I'm gonna get a tandem bike next time. What do you say? So we ride together, me and you. How about a sidecar? I can get a little sidecar. I'll drive you around. Right. Yeah, so he was arrested. He's facing time.
I imagine as well. All right, let's bring
armed robbery. That's the charge. Armed robbery. And he had the separate incident where he beat someone up with a gun, apparently, because they didn't add him on Facebook. Right. And he's a felon, charged with carrying
bring
a gun.
Bring this one home on this man's felony.
You know, someone told us a while back that dating is tougher these days, and us married people don't know.
And, it ain't that tough.
I mean, I don't know if I would call this dating, but
it ain't ride up on you on a bike and rob you tough. It ain't that
it's
tough.
Happening. It never happened back in our day.
It's not that tough.
Might have, but we didn't know about it.
Give me a pager number.
Hey girl, page me. Let me give you a code. It's just for you.
Yeah.
How about, hey, add me on AOL Instant Messenger right now. Let's go in your house and log in. He's got a gun to her head while they're waiting for the modem to fucking connect to AOL. Add me to your friends list on AOL Instant Messenger. Damn, you're too pretty to rock.
Yeah. So give y'all come on back on Monday. We'll be here.
Next time he robs people, he's going to be wearing cologne. He's going to be like
free cleaned up. He left the house with Drakkar on.
Drakkar.
He knew where he was going.
Cool water.
Let me put on my Robin scent.
Pulls out a bottle of Fathom.
From I run up on these hoes.
Let me put on some cool water.
Y'all come on back. We'll be here for you. I want to thank Mark coming in with us as always. As freeloaders, you miss Brandon on Monday. Spend some money. Be part of this.
Yeah.
So y'all come on back. Maybe you won't have to rob people and try to get their numbers.
Damn, you was too pretty to rob.
Yeah. Where are you? Smell that Drakkar, do you?
That's how you, by the way, anyone
you
out
smell
there,
that jupe?
You that's how you that compliment a jupe. Woman. You got to have some jupe. Jovan Musk, perhaps. You
smell that jupe.
You got to, next time, walk up to a woman and just be like, damn, you are too pretty to rob. And get on your bike.
She's going
to
go, is that Drakkar?
a bike with a license plate from CVS that has your name on it.
Now give me your wallet. Y'all come on back. We'll be here for y'all. Thank you, Mark, for coming in with us as always. Thank you, chat room, for everything you've done for us. We appreciate y'all as always. Y'all come on back. I'm Randolph Terrence.
I'm Andy Klein.
And I'm Brother Mark.
Damn, y'all was too pretty to rock.
Damn.
There's three guys on.
Damn.
Damn. We out.
Damn.